Well, friends, I wonder if you've ever felt a bit vulnerable in life. And maybe you walk through a dangerous neighbourhood in Cheshire. Late at night, you're on your own, and you see some large blokes, in hoodies, and they're all huddled together ahead of you on the path. They might look a bit intimidating, and you might wish you had a good friend who's a black belt in karate or something with you. A guardian. Someone to make you feel safe. Well, Psalm 121 is part of a series of short psalms that we started last week called the Songs of Ascents. These psalms were probably sung by Israelites as they ascended up to Jerusalem three times a year for the annual festivals. God commanded all men to come to these celebrations, but we know that some women and children came too. You might remember that Mary and Joseph accidentally left Jesus in Jerusalem on one of these occasions. It's very likely that the Lord Jesus will have sung this set of psalms at least three times every year on the 90-mile trip from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Well, on their pilgrimage, God's people would make their way along landscapes filled with hills and mountains, and perhaps they feel vulnerable to attack. Perhaps they feel the fragility of life as they meander towards the mountain of God, Mount Zion. And last week, we began the journey with Psalm 120, which is all about the Lord's peace. We're far from our real home. We're surrounded by war. But the Lord is peace, and peace will triumph in the end. And this week we've come to Psalm 121, which is about the Lord's protection. It's about helping God's people remember on our pilgrimage, the Lord is our protector, and he will bring us safely home into his glorious presence. Do you believe that, friend? Do you believe that? Christian, you are one of God's pilgrim people. As you travel the narrow path, the cross-shaped path, the path surrounded by intimidating mountains and dangers. As you travel that path, this psalm will help you remember that the Lord is your protector. He will bring you safely home into his glorious presence at the end of your earthly pilgrimage, friend. He is walking with you. He is protecting you. He is keeping you safe and secure. And he always, always, always will, friends. We're going to look at the psalm in three sections today. First, we'll see the Lord will help us. Secondly, he won't sleep. And thirdly, he will protect us. So firstly, the Lord will help us. Verses 1 to 2, the Lord will help us. There's an incredible couple that Lydia and I know. We met them in London while I was studying at London Seminary. They came over from the US with their three children to be part of a church revitalization ministry there. But sadly, it didn't go to plan, and the husband ended up out of work. The family decided to join our church for just a short season while they figured out what to do. But not long after, the wife, who was 28 weeks pregnant at the time, lost their baby in the womb. It was completely unexpected. They were devastated. And our church rallied around them to care for them as they walked through such great sadness. You know, I'll never forget the text for prayer that they sent out to us as church members. It said, "Please pray that we, all together as a family, could remember God's goodness and not doubt or become embittered against our Lord." Isn't that amazing? Christian, when you are in the valley of the shadow of death, where do you look for help? Where do you look for help? Come with me to verse 1 of this psalm. "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." The psalmist is on a long journey to the presence of God, and he lifts his eyes up to the mountains all around. And friends, you only lift your eyes up to the mountains when you are walking at the bottom in the valley, don't you? There are serious threats to life here. Bandits could attack. It's hard to see what might be hiding and ready to jump out at you when you're walking at the foot of mountains. Well, the psalmist asks, where's my help going to come from? Where's my protector? Perhaps on the way to Jerusalem, some of the mountains have altars to other gods on them. Are they going to help in time of trouble? He answers, no. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. See, it's only the sovereign God who creates and sustains all things who can be relied upon to help us as we travel through life's many dangers, toils and snares. It's only the Creator who can really help us in our times of greatest need, because only He sustains and creates all things by His powerful word. Psalm 46 also speaks of being among intimidating mountains. It's worth reading. Psalm 46, interestingly, the word there, mountains, for mountains, seems to be a picture of the kingdoms of the earth which rage against God. The psalmist says that they will all topple, but the mountain of the Lord, his kingdom, will never be toppled. Friend, maybe you have intimidating mountains like this surrounding you now. Maybe the company you work for is openly anti-Christian. Or the team you work in, they all hate Christianity. Or your family has shunned you because of your faith. Remember that all of these intimidating mountains will eventually topple. As we travel on the pilgrimage that is the Christian life, there will be towering mountains that aim to turn us around, to give up. Perhaps for you it's the relentless struggles of family life, the continual care needs of a parent, the illness or a disability or lack of sleep. Friend, remember that though these mountains may mark your way, they are not in your way. They may mark your way, they're not in your way. The path that the Lord is leading you on is totally secure. Maybe some of the mountains around you in your life are actually quite attractive to you. Things you might be tempted to place your security in: powerful institutions, governments, savings accounts, a spouse, a degree certificate, a friend. Remember, none of these things are a source of real security. None of them. You know, the devil would love for you to keep your eyes down and focused on the worries of this life. He wants you to get distracted by all of the troubles that you face along the way to Zion and to stop following Christ. Maybe you're anxious about something in your life: financial security, friendship security, health security, and you end up squeezing out all of the time that you'd otherwise spend praying and reading the Bible. Maybe you've got swept away by a political campaign, and that's all you talk about at home. It's never Jesus. Jesus warns us in the parable of the sower, doesn't he? Some people hear the message of the gospel, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things, they come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Don't let your eyes be drawn to the worries of this life. Look to what really, really matters for eternity, friends. Christian, remember that the true security of life is found only in the Lord. He is where our help comes from. He is our protector, and he will bring us safely home. We've seen firstly that our help comes from the Lord. Secondly, the psalm shows us he won't sleep. He won't sleep. Verses 3 to 4. Just come there with me now. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. As the psalmist makes the pilgrimage to Jerusalem and with all the people of Israel, God's people, he reminds himself that the Lord won't sleep. Twice we're told this in these verses. Did you see that? In fact, he is paying such close attention to our every step that if we even begin to slip, he'll be right there to stop us from falling. But in the Christian walk, there are times, aren't there, when we might feel like God is asleep, like he's not paying attention. Maybe you're a single and you really want to be married. Maybe you've been faithfully rejecting the advances of non-Christian men or women, even though there's no suitable Christian partner around. But it's been a long time now, and you're becoming weary. You feel like you can't carry on. Is the Lord sleeping? Does he know my situation? Maybe you've been constantly praying that God would deliver you from a difficult circumstance that you're in, and you feel like there's just no response. Is he paying attention? Maybe like Charles Spurgeon, you've suffered many times from severe sickness and frightful mental depression, seeking almost to despair. Is the Lord awake? Well, the psalmist answers, yes, he is awake. The Lord does not slumber or sleep. He's not fallen asleep on the job. He knows exactly what's happening in your life, all the details, all your thoughts, and he will never take his gaze away from you, Christian. You know, when astronauts, they're heading up to space, in the space station, there's hundreds of people actively monitoring every conceivable element of their health and the capsule that they are in. There's never a moment when mission control goes on a break or when the people fall asleep on their desks. If they do, they are out. How much more does your Heavenly Father keep watch over you, brothers and sisters? He is actively helping you. He is with you all of the time. He never sleeps, and his infinite power is constantly at work to protect you and to bring you safely home. I wonder if you know the reality of this in your life, though. Do you wake up and thank the Lord for the agenda that he has prepared for your day? When your plans are sidelined by some mishap in the day, or when you get that email in your inbox, do you remind yourself that the hands that flung stars into space are right by your side right now, paying close attention and helping you at every turn? Friends, we so often forfeit the peace of God when we don't recognize his sovereign hand in our lives, don't we? When we panic and think that he's not here with us. He's not only watching, though, but he is actively working. We ultimately forfeit the peace that is ours in Christ, friends. Our Lord never sleeps. Despite appearances, he cares an immense amount about bringing us safely home. His definition of safe is not always what we might consider safe. His methods and his routes are not what we would always choose, but they are the very best. Remember the disciples on that boat during a violent storm? They thought they were going to drown. The Lord Jesus is sleeping below deck, and they are terrified, aren't they? What an amazing opportunity for the disciples to grow in their trust of the Lord Jesus. Well, the disciples, don't they? They wake Jesus up and cry out in disbelief, "Don't you care if we drown?" And yet what they and we need to know is, despite appearances, God is right there with us in the storm. He is in absolute control of everything. He does not slumber, friends. Just come back to verse 3 with me. The Lord will not let or allow your foot to slip. Now, this isn't a promise of physical protection. All Christians suffer, and many trip over and scuff their knees. No, this is a promise of our eternal salvation being secure. as we travel on our pilgrimage to the very presence of the Lord. He will not allow us to slip and to fall away from him. He will never let go of you, Christian. He puts us on the path of eternal life with him, and he will keep us on the path of eternal life till the very end. What an encouragement that is. There will be many temptations along the way, but ultimately, the Lord will not allow our faith to fail. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, no temptation will come upon us except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way out so that we may be able to bear it. Well, we've seen on our pilgrimage to the presence of the Lord, our help comes from the Lord. And we've seen that this help is always there. The Lord never sleeps. And thirdly, this is the main point of the psalm. He will protect us. He will protect us. Verses 3 to 8. You know, our perception of danger is significantly reduced if we can see the protection that's available if something might go wrong. Let me just give you an illustration. Let's say you're driving 50 miles an hour down a wide country lane. Hedges either side, and there's a reasonably sharp turn. You might slow down a little bit, but not too much. But if all the conditions were exactly the same, except that the outside of the curve had a massive drop of a cliff, you would slow down a lot more, wouldn't you? A lot more. The danger that we perceive is significantly reduced if we can see the protection that is available to us. And friends, in the Christian life, our great sovereign protector is physically unseen. But this psalm calls us to open our spiritual eyes so that we might see the reality of our divine protection. Just come to verse 3 with me now. He, God, will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Everything that we've heard so far is to set the stage for this central truth that the Lord will protect Israel. The word that's translated watch over and keep there in the NIV is the same word in the Hebrew. The same word 6 times. And the overarching idea is that the Lord is the protector, the guardian of Israel. Just come to verse 5. For the Lord to be your protector means that he is the shadow over your right hand. That's just an idiom, meaning God is personally and intimately protecting you as you go about your daily business. Psalm 17 says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. See, for God to be our shade is for him to be like a bird protecting her precious young with her wings. In other words, you are dearly loved, Christian. In verse 6, we're told that for the Lord to be our protector means all powers of night and day will not harm us. Now, the pagan nations often saw the sun and moon as sort of ruling deities. But the psalmist reminds us that the Lord is their creator, and he provides comprehensive protection from them, even in the very place of their dominion. It's like saying, Putin won't harm you in Russia. Kim Jong-un won't harm you in North Korea. So friends, even in the very place that earthly rulers rule, God will protect his people. That reminds us of the book of Esther, doesn't it? Right in the midst of an immense, mighty, pagan nation, God protected his people, didn't he? In verse 7, we're told the Lord will protect his people from all evil. He will deliver us from evil. He will protect our very life. See, physical suffering is not our ultimate enemy. Evil is. The evil one longs not just to make our lives hard, to inflict pain and to scare us, but to take away our very lives from eternity. But Christian, the Lord, your protector, will deliver you from all evil. Finally, in verse 8, we're shown that the Lord, for the Lord to be our protector, it means to protect our coming and our going now and forever. It's a summary, really. The Lord will protect you for your entire life, Christian. He won't leave your side. He won't stop protecting you and holding you fast and keeping you safe under the shadow of his wings. Not now, not ever. The Lord is our protector. But friends, it's only those who trust in Christ for salvation who can know this protection. If you're not repenting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, then you are not safe. You are not protected. The wrath of God is being stored up for all those who reject him. But in his great grace, he's made a way for salvation. His Son laid down his life for sinners like us, paying the penalty for our rebellion against God. If we turn away from our sin and we follow Jesus in faith, then no matter what we've done, it will be forgiven. And not only that, but we will be united to his Son for eternity, which means we'll be as secure as we possibly could be. No one is safe. No one is as safe, as the person God protects. But no one is in as much danger as the person who rejects God. Are you trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ for true security in life, friend? Well, I skipped over a wonderful truth in verse 4. I just said that the Lord is our protector, is the protector of Israel, so he is therefore our protector. But we must remember, it's only because we are united to Christ that we are under the Lord's protection. It's only because we are in Christ, the true Israel, that the protector of Israel can actually be called our protector. See, Jesus is the fulfillment of Israel. Everything they were called to be, he fulfilled perfectly. Israel failed to live as the Son of God. They disobeyed repeatedly. And so, as Deuteronomy spells out, they forfeited all the promises of God. But Jesus obeyed perfectly and received all God's promises. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fulfillment of Israel. That's why he began his ministry by passing through the water, like the Israelites did. Then he went into the wilderness for 40 days, like their 40 years. Only Jesus did not grumble or disobey like they did. And when he was tested by the devil, he passed every time. It's also why he chose 12 disciples, like the 12 tribes of Israel. He's not the replacement, but the fulfillment of Israel. And so this psalm ultimately speaks of the experience of the Lord Jesus. He knew what it meant to set his sights on the Father as he walked surrounded by intimidating mountains in this world. He knew the Lord was his help, never sleeping, always protecting. He knew he was the apple of the Lord's eye. So you see, our union with Christ means that we too are the apple of the Lord's eye. And therefore we are under the shadow of his wing. Only those who believe in Christ as their Lord and Saviour will be protected as they walk the pilgrim's path that leads to the very presence of God. We mustn't think that being under the protection of the Lord means that we won't face any suffering. You see, Jesus, the true Israel, was crucified. Yet his life was ultimately protected by the Lord for eternal glory. Acts 14 says those in union with Christ will enter his kingdom through many tribulations. We need to be honest about this, friends. Yet it is absolutely certain that our lives will ultimately be protected by the Lord and brought into eternal glory with him. When you waver in your faith, when you're suffering, when you're struggling to keep going, remember this: the Lord is your protector and he will bring you safely home. Look to him for help, Christian. He is paying very close attention to your life and he is in control of your life's circumstances. So in faith, follow Jesus on the road not understood and know that he is working for his glory and your good. The Lord is our protector and he will bring us safely home. Well, we've seen in Psalm 121 that our help comes from the Lord. He is the reason we can be confident through every fiery trial in this life. The maker of heaven and earth is our help. And we've also seen that the help we need will always be there. The Lord never sleeps. It might seem like it sometimes. But friends, don't be deceived or despair. And lastly, we've seen that resounding and repeating roar. He will protect you, Christian. If you are in Christ, saved from the wrath to come, then you can know eternal security that he will hold you fast. He will bring you home at the end of the pilgrimage to the very presence of God. Your life is secure, kept safe. Nothing can separate you from the love of God.